Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome you all to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Finolex Chemicals, who will present their quarterly and annual financials for FY22. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the management side, we have with us Ms. Aarti Jhunjhunwala, Executive Director, Mr. Sanjay Tibrewal, Executive Director and CFO, and Mr. Arindam Chaudhary, CEO. They are going to represent the company today. I shall now hand over the call to Ms. Aarti Jhunjhunwala for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to Finolex Chemicals Limited's Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. With the financial statements and earnings presentation already available on the exchanges and our website, I hope you all had the opportunity of a serious perusal of the same. Let me start with an overview of our present state of business and the strategic outlook for the upcoming quarters. As you're already aware, Finolex is India's leading specialty chemicals producer with a major presence in both domestic and international textiles market. Our constant focus is broad-basing the market and to create visibility of our brand. Our constant endeavor on value-added services like providing technical solutions in the specialty chemical sector is a step in this direction. Biotex, our Malaysian subsidiary, is in charge of R&D and of overall product development. Leading global organizations like Bluesign and ZDFC have recognized us for our environmental initiatives. Finolex and Biotex both complement each other's strengths, and our value proposition is recognized by customers all over the world. Our firm is well diversified with operations in South and North America, Europe and Asian countries, and our goal is to increase market share among existing and new customers in both the Indian and international markets by using the strengths of Finolex and Biotex. We take a cautious approach to finance expansion ambitions through internal accruals, and our goal is to keep our capital structure net debt neutral. Sustainability is at the core of our business, and hence we strictly adhere to environment-friendly manufacturing practices. Our belief for long-term success is maintaining high standards of ESG and delivering value to our shareholders. We actively drive operational efficiency, financial jurisprudence, innovation, and people focus through best-in-breed practices. I would now like to call upon Mr. Arindam to take over and give an overview of our operations.
Thank you, Aarti. Very good morning to all. Let me begin by saying that we are a well-diversified company, as you all know, with a wide range of products across the textile industry processes and also in hygiene products and oil industry. This apart, being the leading specialty chemical manufacturer, we also provide high-end customer solution to our core customer base, and that is our main value for the acceleration in the market for more wallet share. It will enhance the customer confidence and thus our brand equity in the market. Presently, our geographical coverage in key international textile hub to further strengthen our repute. In the long run, this strength will help us to foray into a new virgin market where we want to explore ourselves more and more, and we aim to leverage brand value of Finolex and Biotex to further our hold in the market. Our expansion into new high-growth categories like home care and hygiene, and also the drilling specialties, saw a tremendous opportunity to cooperate with the leading branded detergent makers for their polymer requirements in home care and hygiene, and also a great opportunity for giving solution to India's premier oil and gas companies within drilling specialties. Our existing strategic partnership with Helgard Australia for our antimicrobial and hygiene range, European channel partner, EuroDice CTC Belgium, for the technical upgradation in our product line, for the more support to our customers globally, and also our premium institute conference like SASMIRA for our research and development for our future goal. It continued to remain cordial and thus found beneficial to both the partners. Such alliance experiment will continue in future also. May I now request Sanjay to take us through the overall performance of the company. Thank you.
Thanks, Arindam ji. Good morning to all of you. Financial year 2022 has been a watershed year for Finolex in the recent times. We have a commendable corporate results for quarter four financial year 2022, which is the result of our firm belief in the future of the industry and in specific Finolex. Our current quarter growth is at par with the growth seen in the previous quarters of financial year 2022. Our quarter four growth is much beyond our expectation, which will hearten our stakeholders. We are also happy to inform you that our new facility at Ambernath, built in state-of-the-art technology complying to the highest standards of sustainability, is a great success and is a test case for our portfolio expansion and capacity utilization efforts. Due to the increased demand and order booking, we are planning for additional 21,000 metric tons capacity increase, which is expected to commence its production soon. Let me highlight about the specialty chemical industry. We see a bright future for Finolex on the various important global factors in the auto industry. Economic activity has been on an uptick, and many industries are reporting pre-COVID volume figures of productions and sales. There has also been an overall global optimism in the Indian economy resurgence, leading to many high-valued global capital investment moving to India, as it is seen to offer stable social and political environment, federal structure competing with each other to attract industries, favoring investment policies, low cost, affluent regional demographies, et cetera. This will augur well for chemicals industries as India enjoys the status pharmacy of the world. The Government of India recently announced extension of PLI scheme to few more sectors. This will significantly boost the domestic manufacturing capacities and exports at very competitive prices. Our twin focus of building a world-class brand and market expansion will be based on manufacturing of quality products through sustainable manufacturing practices. On the fundamentals of our Finolex financial performance, our operation revenue rose to 121.4 crores, which is up by 62% year-on-year basis in quarter four financial year 2022. In the entire financial 2022, this revenue is at 368 crores, which is up by 69% year-on-year basis. Similarly, EBITDA has shown an uptick of 21.5 crores, which is up by 68% YoY basis in the quarter four financial year 2022, and 71.2 crores, which is up by 76% year-on-year in financial year 2022. The EBITDA margins is at 18%, expanding by 60 basis points in quarter four financial year 2022, and 19% expanding by 77 basis points in financial year 2022. The PAT stood at 170 million, which is up by 42% YoY. Margins stood at 14% in quarter four in financial year 2022, and 569 million, up by 28% YoY basis, in which the margins stood at 15% in financial year 2022. This is the PAT margin. The cash flow from operations has gone up to 133 million, which is up by 43% year-on-year in the financial year 2022. Our operational efficiency has resulted in improved working capital cycle, and we aim to continue to focus on the same. This outstanding result will serve as a fresh barometer for us, encouraging us to seek out new prospects. Across all the business segments, we will continue to scale strategic new benchmarks, diversify our customer portfolio, and thus increase our wallet share and offer more diversified product range. In addition, we are implementing two new measures to look internally in order to optimize various operational areas. We aim to continue to meet the expectation of our stakeholders in the future. With this opening remarks, we will open the call for interactive question and answer session. Thank you, and I will pass it on to the moderator, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Participants are requested to restrict to one question per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rikin Shah from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Given your company's revenue is majorly dependent on textile chemicals, I believe the product mix has changed in this quarter. So if you can give some clarity on that, and how do you see the product mix in FY23?
Thanks, Mr. Shah. I would like to mention, like already we have been discussing in our previous quarters also in the earnings calls, there are basically three verticals which we have. One is the textile. The other one is the cleaning and hygiene, which is for having the surfactants and detergent businesses. And the third one is a small one, which is oil and gas, which is, for limited customers and limited areas. So basically, we have been always, for the last couple of years, we have been marching towards the cleaning and hygiene businesses also. And let me tell you that this cleaning and hygiene business is itself touching almost in the quarter four. It's almost touching, 35 to 40% of our business right now in the cleaning and hygiene itself. Now, coming to the textiles, yes, we have already been focusing upon sustainable solutions in which we have been able to reduce the effluent treatment of the customers, and that has been our major focus areas for developing more products and processes, which is the need of the textile industry right now. Along with that, we are focused more on the finishing packages. In textiles, broadly, there are four different processes. Pre-treatment, which is the cleaning. There is a dyeing process, coloring. There is a finishing process and a printing process to it. All these four processes require almost 25 different functional chemicals, and all these together constitute only 3% cost to the user. So basically, every product is contributing, let's say, 0.15% cost to the user. And the finishing is the sector which is our main highlight always, because this is the place where, the entry and exit barriers are very, very high. The companies, the textile companies, generally do not change the finish of the fabric or the yarn or the whatever substrate they are doing. At the same time, it is also having a lot of value addition product lines which we are working on. So basically, for textiles, we have been diversified and focused upon sustainable solutions as well as the finishing packages, which is almost, let's say, 60-70% of our textile entire business.
Right. So on the product mix in FY23, would you be able to comment?
From quarter two onwards, the company has been investing a lot on product certifications, plant audits in the last couple of years. The idea was that the sustainability was to pick up, and that is the way even the quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, where our company has grown up by, let's say, 64% in quarter two, 81% in quarter three, and now we are again with almost 69% in quarter four. So broadly, this all the growth path which has been laid is because of the new product lines and the new focus area, understanding the need of the textile companies, which is mainly for sustainable solutions in which we are reducing the energy levels, the water requirement of the customers, and also providing them solutions for finishing, which is an entire package which we are providing from beginning till the finish. So those have helped us a lot. I think 60% of our revenues right now belongs to that area.
Oh, right.
That is a mix which has changed, yeah.
Right. So we can expect the same in 23.
Yes. There is a big change which has happened in the textile business in the last couple of years, and this was quite anticipated and expected, and we could always visualize that many years back. And that is the reason we have started moving towards that direction. We have Blue Sign certificate, which is one of the most difficult, stringent ESG kind of environment-friendly certifications. At the same time, our plants have been audited by German company Hohenstein, because these kinds of ZDSC Level 3, Ecotex, Ecopassport, and the various certifications which our company has today is all on the direction of sustainability. And sustainability is the way the textile is going to change up in future as well. And we are totally focused, and we are much prepared than the European multinationals who are still not in that kind of a focus yet.
Right. All right. And if I can squeeze one more in. So in one of your calls, you have guided that, you know, your Ampanath plant has a much better gross block turnover compared to the Navi Mumbai plant. So if you can expand on that and how, you know, why that is so high.
Okay. So I will come to the point that, you know, we have just started in December 21. We just started, you know, few production in the Ambarnath facility, which has picked up until March now. And further, we have expanded more operational efficiencies in Ambarnath. So the 36,000 tons expansion, which we have done, which can produce, in fact, 40,000 tons today. And in fact, after that, again, there is another expansion of 21,000 tons, which is ongoing and should be up by the next month. Now, together, this investments has been done by internal accruals only. The kind of product lines and the kind of technology is, in a way, the reactor batch sizes are much bigger, which helps us to have better operational cycles here. Plus, the cleaning and hygiene product lines are also making us make a better asset turnover ratios on this new facilities. So this facility, as such, all our product lines, what we are producing, are all fungible capacities. In the same capacity, we can produce the textile chemicals, the cleaning and hygiene raw materials and special chemicals and additives, at the same time the oil key specialty chemicals. They are all fungible capacities, and now we have started getting quite strong orders for the cleaning and hygiene businesses, and due to that we are able to save a lot of efficiencies, and we have able to increase the productivity also because the orders are repeated. In textile chemicals, like, we are doing almost 500 product range. In that, what the general SOPs are, that once you get an order of a different product, you have to have a separate SOP in which you need to clean the vessels very well to avoid any minute contaminations, even in parts per million basis. Whereas in the business of cleaning and hygiene, where we have diversified and we are getting very strong in that product lines, the order quantities are quite high and repeated orders. So that we save a lot of time in operationals and, you know, SOPs. So that is also leading to better asset turnovers, and it is quite a right piece of land, and we have ample of space for future expansion. So the 21,000 tons is also been done at that same location.
Right. Got it. And on the...
Sorry to interrupt you. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, restrict to one question per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue. The next question is from the line of Ashi Rathi from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sanjay ji, congrats on good set of numbers. Indeed, we have seen some stupendous growth in FY22. But, you know, how much of this should be actually attributed to, say, price increases, and what is the kind of volume growth that we have seen as a company? And if you could help us understand some outlook on, you know, what can be the next 2-3 years top line growth and bottom line growth on this strong base that we've already built in FY22.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rathi, for your kind words. So basically, the volume growth in the financial year is almost 85% over the previous year-on-year basis. And the quarter four is contributing mainly to the volumes and the new businesses which we have got in the cleaning and hygiene. Now, the cleaning and hygiene sector is quite a massive sector as such, and we have just have our footprints for the couple of years, step by step, and now we have been able to crack bigger accounts and bigger orders, which are lined up and due to which we are expanding. In fact, when we started this 36,000 tons CapEx plans, we expected that this will take us almost 3 years or 2.5 years to, you know, to ramp it up, because that was our Indian, almost doubling our capacities then. Right now, if we see, in fact, in the quarter four, I think almost the 50% of the Ambernath plant is almost, you know, utilized for the existing ones. And already we are on the next level of increasing to another 21,000 capacity for the, you know, to, you know, we need to have that kind of a space and a capacity to cater to those orders. So the volume growth has been the most significant. The price rise was not more than 5 to 7% in the quarter two, quarter three, based on the raw material prices and fuel prices and the, you know, passing on the cost increase, which we have done in the quarter three to the consumers. So broadly, we have been very much excited with the opportunity we have. Going forward to next 2 years, I think, you know, from the CapEx point of view, we still have been expecting more CapEx, which will be planned up in the coming year. But let me also mention to you, these CapEx are all funded by internal accruals. Even the 36,000 tons, which is now effective 40,000 tons in operations, and the 21,000 tons, which we are setting up together, will also be all done from internal accruals, and it's been done by internal accruals right now. And way on, like in quarter two, we had a growth of almost 64%. Quarter three, we had a growth of 83%. This quarter, we have a growth of almost 69%. So all these things, we can expect future trends also to be, you know, in the same lines. And also cleaning and hygiene is going to become one of the, you know, major areas of the growth, which is going to, you know, give a good returns to the company.
Great, thank you. Ambernath, can you quantify the CapEx numbers, sir?
So basically, we already we have done almost for the 36,000 tons, we had done a CapEx of almost 31 crores broadly. And for this 21,000 tons, the CapEx value is only 17 crores. The point here is that once we at that time, the company, I mean, the Ambernath plant was a brownfield project. So, you know, there was a lot of cost involved in the, you know, in setting up the buildings and things like that. At the same time, now the expansion is based on only on the machine increase. And that will be the, that's the reason the CapEx quantity will be funded by 17 crores, which is, will be done by internal accruals itself.
Fantastic. Wish you all the best, Sanjay. Thank you so much for the
opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Rathi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Bansal from AB Private. Please go ahead.
Hello, Sanjay. A good performance.
Thank you.
My question is that, sir, on World Malaria Day, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, former WHO chief scientist, in an interview, emphasize on newer technology for eradicating malaria. So you have a product called Aquaset DCF, which also deals with stopping of larvae cycle and all that. So now it's a win-win situation. Now WHO is more emphasized on these kind of diseases to eradicate. You have a $1 billion product. So why are you not pushing for it? After Q2, I have not ever since heard a single news about this product. Sir, what are your niche views or what are your positivity on this, sir? I'm not hearing anything from you from the last 8 or 2 years.
So the line for the participant dropped. Move on to the next participant.
No, if you want, I can just give a slight touch on that for the other participants also. So here it goes. As such, in the last, as we also see in the last 2 years, there has been a lot of changes in the company itself in terms of expansion, CapEx expansion, and we are turning around to a different level. It is, I believe this is one of the most transitionary phase where the company is right now. And as we have been expecting in the last 1 year, we have been also delivering substantial growth. And I think we, our entire team, the management is also spread on the current opportunities, which are already working in our favor in terms of the cleaning hygiene businesses, the textile product lines, the sustainable, the kind of strong team which we have built, the kind of documentation, the product audits, the plant audits, the FDA certifications and things like that. So going forward, you know, the product line which he addressed. The idea was that, yes, we still have that, but that is not the main focus about it, because at the end of the day, these are connected with authorities and government. Right now, we are more focused on things which are easily doable, which are in control, the kind of request of the production and the order labels which we are seeing, it's beyond expectation, in fact, to be more precise at the moment. So right now, our main focus is to capitalize on our core businesses, which is textile chemicals, specialty chemicals for detergents and oil also, At the same time, yes, that product is also available, which is on the slow process right now, but we cannot expect or we cannot anticipate any kind, because it is connected with authorities and things like that. And once you're connected with authorities of government of India or government of or WHO, things doesn't work in this process. So that's to just, you know, for all the participants. Yeah, we can take it up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Jatin K from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on margin reduction. So we saw QOQ, we saw a bit lower margin. So can you please elaborate on that, please?
Yes, Mr. Jatin. Let me also tell you, historically or also in the previous quarters, you will see average margin, EBITDA margins of the company has been 17 to 18%. Now, even in for the entire year, if you notice, the EBITDA margins for the entire financial year 22 has been 19% broadly. Now, we all are witnessing, I mean, there is no industry left out globally in which there has not been an increase of the raw materials. Various factors like fuel or maybe war-like situation or geopolitical, the container cost, the Shanghai issue, Shanghai again closing down, this and that. So we all are witnessing something which is beyond the control of people and, you know, of the companies. Whereas, you know, at the same time, I would like to mention that we are in a very niche market, in the sense our cost, the cost of the product to the customers is not substantial at all. What I mean to say by that, we also have regular updates and price increase with our consumers and customers, which have been started doing from 1st April. At the same time, you know, the kinds of fluctuations in the raw material prices and things like that, it always takes at least a month or 2 months to pass on that much increase for any point. I mean, most of the companies operating, whether it's in chemicals or specialty chemicals, the pharma will have this thing. At the same time, what is important, I would like to mention about, if you notice the quarter two, or quarter one or quarter four of the financial year 21, we are surely at par even with the quarter 22 margin. So I don't take it as a challenge. More importantly, I would like to highlight to Mr. Jatin and also the participants, what is the key, what we are looking at is to gain the size of the company. Today, if you calculate quarter four of this last quarter for financial year, we have touched 122 crores, which is analyzed basis 500 crores or let's say 485 crores, which has been almost achieved without even having full utilization of the Ambernath capacity, plus not calculating the another 21,000 Ambernath what we are doing. And also this itself is from a 220 crores. We had already touched almost 500 crores in the 1 year period, which had numerous challenges for every industry broadly, and especially chemicals and, you know, petrochemicals and crude and shortages and, you know, everything. Needless to mention, we all are watching it. I think more important for the company is the volume increase, for the, you know, the scale where we are touching up and what our aspiration levels are. EBITDA margins are still almost in line, 0.5% plus minus. I wouldn't say that would be a challenge, as long as the, you know, the company is growing at 80% growth or 69-70%, and the volumes are also going ahead on that basis. Keeping in point that the company is still debt neutral and we are funding everything by internal accruals. At the same time, the kind of product lines which we have introduced in textiles is going to shape up in a very rapid way, even in the coming times. So I think, Jatinji, I would, I have answered to, you know, I don't see that as a drop. I mean, more important is to see the overall trend, and quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, all together have contributed 19%, which is surely higher than our previous year's EBITDA margins also, which was based on 220 crores, whereas today we are annualized at 480 crores.
Sure, sir. I completely agree with your point. We had a very good, very, very good FY22. I just wanted to check whether for next year we should build in, say, 18-19% type EBITDA, or should we build in the Q3 24 type EBITDA, is what I was trying to just watch from here.
So also, let me also mention to our participants, in quarter four, if you can also notice the kind of the manpower cost increase which has been taken place. Now see, basically textile and any kind of a new businesses, especially in our field, everything is too, you know, it's like the seed and then there is a fruit. So the seeds are sown. We have been having a solid team, a solid team planning, and, you know, addition is ongoing. which is always will be reflected in the future earnings of the quarters, which you will see in this coming years also. So that is the way I would like to, you know, take it up and try to explain to our participants. So all these things are strategically done. The cost has gone up not only on the raw material price or the fuel or something on the freights. More importantly, these are like deliberate strategic investments done in manpower also in the quarter four. At the same time, there is another capex which is happening of 21,000 tons. Again, by internal accruals itself, and that is also going to help us to reach to a good value, and making sure the EBITDA numbers are also similar to what we have been seeing always.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Jatin, I'll request to come back in the question queue. I request all the participants, please restrict to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla. From Envision Capital, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and congratulations on great set of numbers. So my question is primarily regarding the cleaning and hygiene segment. So did I hear you correctly that currently it is about 40% of our revenue? And maybe if you could also highlight what is it that we're doing in this segment? Are we contract manufacturers, or do we do this under our own brand name? Maybe if you can just throw some light on that.
Firstly, let me tell you about the quarter four. The volumes of quarter four is almost 11,000 tons, 10,500 tons. On that, almost 4,000 tons has been for the cleaning and hygiene businesses. So that's the basis I had said on the numbers of the volume as such, number one. Number two, we are not getting into any contract things. It is totally our brand, our product lines, our performance specialty chemicals, which is adding value to the consumer's product in which this has been introduced. So those are the ways. There is no contract manufacturing ongoing. That is for sure. And what was your next? Sorry, Alisha, I missed your third question.
No, this was my question. So basically you're saying that it is our own brand, our own product, and we're selling it through our own distribution network.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. Also, earlier in the call, you mentioned that we've done about 80% kind of volume growth for the entire of FY22. Going forward, what is the kind of volume growth that we're expecting?
See, you know, I would like to also mention, we are now comparing FY21 with 22, and that's the reason you are seeing 85% growth. Going forward also, there will be surely a great volume growth on quarter-on-quarter basis. Even the quarter four volume growth was also above 15% on quarter three. So going forward, the kind of, you know, we are the orders we are in hand and the kind of new capex which we are looking at, I think we should, you know, we'll be able to ramp up our Ambernath facility, which will easily, you know, with this 21,000 tons, I can put it in a different way that we can always touch 800 to 850 crores of the business lines with this capacity once it comes in place. That is the what is the, you know, we can touch up. Now, how quickly we do it, what kinds of, you know, so we are expecting we will be on a right pace, similar pace, I can say. So that's what we are anticipating in future.
So if I may just ask for a clarification, the 800, 850 you're saying is after the 21,000 comes peak utilization. And when is the 21 expected?
That will happen from the next month.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Okay. Thanks,
Anisha. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. My question relates to more of a standalone revenue. If I see your other expenses has increased from 7.5 crore to 11.8 crore. So what, is there any exceptional or one-off in that?
No, nothing of that sort. This is also including our sales, promotional expenses, product certifications, exhibitions, audits, manpower, salaries. And also, I would like to inform the participants actually, which is how we are looking at it is Indian business. In India business, we are calculating and considering Finotex standalone along with Finotex Indian subsidiary, which is Finotex Speciality Private Limited, which is FSPL, we call it. Now, the Ambernath facility and the other businesses, the new detergent and the businesses which we have, you know, emphasized and we have started getting into, it's all through the Indian subsidiary, which is known as FSPL. So, in our declaration to the stock exchange, if you could go through that covering on the covering highlights of that, in which we have bifurcated the consolidated business and the Indian business. Now that is also very important because that is the way to look at us. That's the way we will prefer you can do your analysis about.
Great to clarify that. Sir, another question related to more of an industry perspective. So here, from here onward, where you see higher growth, whether it is in textile or more of a consumer hygiene product?
Yeah, from the industry perspective, let me tell you what's happening in the industry in my opinion. Textile and garments has somewhat become little bit seasonal, I can say. So the point here is it catches up to the previous entire year's demand, but not happen in anticipation of every quarter and quarter. Let's say for today, there has been a dip in the bedsheets international market. Just for an example, I'm saying. So naturally, the Walmart, the Walmarts of the world and the big companies are not, the bedsheet companies, the home textile companies are not able to have that much volume, that much they had in October, November, December, those times due to the Christmas purchases and things like that. Plus there was Omicron fear, which had also deteriorated the demand in this January month, broadly speaking. Most of the Indian bedsheet companies were also, but if you see the entire year, they are still higher than the financial year 21. So basically there will be some fluctuation sometimes if there is some spark of this kind of COVID-19 or things like that. But broadly speaking, the consumers, the markets, the kind of performance chemicals demand which has increased in the textile, there is no doubt that this business is going to have still growth levels always. Now, if you also consider our quarter two and quarter three, let me tell you, almost entire 95% of that business or 90 to 95% of that business is contributed by textiles. So the growth of quarter two, which you have seen of 64%, and the growth of 81% in quarter three totally denotes our textile specialty chemicals. So basically, I can only mention here right now, January was not too strong for the international markets and few customers' orders have been postponed for the current quarter, which is ongoing today. So if you notice, textile has been overall having this kind of small waves kind of in demand. That is fine, acceptable, because at the end of the day, it's something which is cannot be avoided. Detergent markets is also picking up more because also the consumer demands for cleaning and has increased a lot on better kind of cleaning chemicals and things like that. And as now the summer has proceeded this now, the cleaning chemicals pick up and demands are always seen more in the summers rather than the winters. That's what happens generally also. So I would rather say, and now I'm talking of the company's perspective. From the company's perspective, I can mention detergents and cleaning hygiene businesses will be growing at a much, much, much faster pace. We have also got some, important orders in hand, which has been from well-known companies. And that is also going to significantly contribute to our EBITDA, to our turnovers. And that will catapult us to a different level in which textile will not be the only area of our major businesses. That's the way we are looking at it. At the same time, textile has its own entry and exit barriers, and that's our core businesses. Let me also tell you that detergent business is not too far from the textile market. Let me tell you how. In textile also, we have the pre-treatment chemicals in which we need to clean the fabrics and things like that. That is the same kind of product line, surfactants and the cleaning additives which are used in textile in the processing as well. And the similar kinds of businesses are used for the detergents. So basically, the product chemistries and things are quite similar. And as I have said, this is a fungible business where we have fungible capacities, and that's why our asset turnover ratio should always be quite significant. At the same time, in textile, we have a different way of working. We are like a troubleshooter. We are like a solution provider company. This is very important. Now, in textiles, what happens day in, day out, they are having a lot of troubles and problems in the processing. It's not only the product which helps them. It is the kind of solution, the kind of technical services which we provide. Today, we have our technical team members at almost all the spots and textile cities of India, and they are like a doctor on call. In fact, that's the way it works, and the customers keep calling them to today we are facing some different issues. Can you help us out? So we are solving it out. Keeping in mind, I would also like to mention all our participants, the textile chemicals which we are onto is not a COA driven business. It's not like a commodity. It's not like a soda ash or acetic acid. In soda ash and acetic acid, all the chemicals of, or the chemical from all the companies, whether it's from GNFC or imported or any company is the same. It's glacial 99% acetic acid. However, in our product line, it's only the performance which count. I always mention to few of our audience and participants that, you know, we are like a homeopathy solution provider. The chemical which we provide is like a solution of a homeopathy. The consumers has it. It solves their problem and they pay for it. It doesn't matter to them whether our product has, you know, what is the active of it or what is not the active of it. That's the way we have been proceeding ahead. And that's why you can see our EBITDA margins will always in the last 11 years of in the last 11 years also, you can see our EBITDA margins has always been more or less intact, and that's the way we are looking at it. So we are very approached in a different way. So we approach on sustainability, we approach on solution providing, and we are approaching on finishing thing. So textile itself, we are going to always grow. There is no doubt about that part. We will be always growing up in the textiles. There is no this thing. At the same time, detergent business is something which we are going to be very much looking at, and we are very much excited and enthusiastic of the kind of business and orders which we are, we are working upon.
Thank you. I'll request Sunil to come back in the question queue. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. So you mentioned about a few certifications that you have gained in the last, last year or the last couple of quarters, which have also aided to our growth. If you can help us understand how critical these certifications are, how complicated the process is to get these certifications, just to get some sense of this is also, if you can help us understand how many companies in India probably would have these kind of certifications, given the industry has a very long tail, the textile chemical industry has a very long tail. So this will help us, you know, understand the criticality of these certifications.
So let me inform to you, let's say our major competitors are either European companies as such. Now, these European companies are already working very closely with the buying houses like Walmart, Target, Sterner Bianca, Marks & Spencer, H&M and things like that. And they have been, you know, working on sustainability. They have been working on concepts which can reduce the water consumptions and help in, you know, the textiles to be more, you know, more eco-friendly kind of concepts. And that's the way the brands have already emphasized on their suppliers, which are our customers, to adapt to those kinds of product lines and things like that if they want to sell their products to their stores. So there is a great requirement of moving towards that direction. For that matter, we have Blue Sign with us. Blue Sign is one of the most stringent certifications. If I'm not wrong, there should not be more than two or three companies in India must be having Blue Sign certification. And we have also got the Blue Sign in our Malaysian facility, actually. So I don't want to, you know, get into too much technicality how they are doing the audits. It's like a 6 months audit, by the way. They fly from Europe. They sit in the plant for 7 days. You know, it's like 3,000 questions. And, you know, it's a quite a difficult process. And, you know, that's way. And at the same time, we have like Blue Sign is one of it. We have Eco Passport, which is also German European certifications. The companies send their people to the Indian plant. They audit it on various, points, which includes the environment, the product, stewardship, the documentations part of it, and a lot of things. Once we are certified in that, then we are able to export to the companies who are again exporting their products to Walmart, H&M and things, these buying houses. Now, Health Guard Australia is also, you know, we have an exclusive collaboration with them as an international marketing chain channel partner. Now, let me tell you how does this business work, just for an example. Health Guard products is already approved in Target and Turner Bianca. Now, Target and Turner Bianca, wherever they are processing their fabric, let's say for Trident and Wellspun. So, Trident ko compulsory hai ki they have to use Health Guard chemistry of antimicrobials on their substrates because Target has told them and Turner Bianca has told them that you need to use Health Guard. So it's a reverse way of marketing. We go to the customer's customer, convince them, and then our customers are not, I should not say forced to use it, but they have to be inclined to use it. So that is the kind of strategy which we have built on, and that is something which is helping us. As you have rightly also said, there can be a long tail in the textile chemicals, but the kind of market we are targeting is all the corporate sectors. Now in India, we are working with almost all the biggest corporate customers of India. You can start for any substrate, whether it is yarn, towels, suitings, bed sheets, shirtings, bottoms, anything right from Chenab, JCT, Oro Dyeing, Oro Textile, Marvel Spinning, Deepak, Birla, Vilsim, TC, Saluja, Reliance, Himmat Sinkas, Wellspuns, Raymond's, Vapi, Ribilwada, Baswada, the Doniers, and then Himmat Sinka, Indocounts, you name it, and they have to using our packages, and we have spread out to all of them. So if we want to work with this top notch of the Indian textile companies, we need this certification place. That's the way the chemicals can move out. It's not, because ultimately their products can only be sold to their customers if you have those certifications. So this is a long-term process. We started this activity in 2019, by the way, or 18, I think. And then there was a COVID times and, you know, things couldn't, you know, we couldn't derive the best outcome of it because by the time there was COVID out. And again, last year we have many more certification. We have the green screen. We have the beehive. We have EIM softwares, which is very important for the governments of USA. So, to coming back to the point, these are the very, very critical things to differentiate, and that's the places where the brand works, and that is the position where we are at the moment. And the investment in this is very high, let me say, for that matter. So we have done it, and it's already reflected in the, it's already debited to the books in the last 1 year also. So that is a kind of importance we have on these certifications, the DSC level 3s and things like that.
Perfect, sir. This is extremely helpful. Just one quick follow-up. Is it possible to broadly share, say, for example, MuSign and EcoPassport, two certifications, critical certifications, how much percentage of our textile business sales is coming from because of these certifications? And I understand there will be some cross-selling also. For example, you get a customer, then you try to sell him other products where probably certification is not required. But just to get some sense, if these two particular products, how much kind of direct sale benefit is coming because of these certifications? How much percentage of a total textile business because of this?
Basically, we are not bifurcating individual certification wise, because certain brands require this, certain brands require that based on their geographical requirements. Now in Bangladesh, if you don't have blue sign, I think you are out of 30-40% of the market. I mean, without knowing the product, without knowing the price, that doesn't matter for them. Without blue sign, the, you know, they will not even discuss further on, you know, something like that. I'm just giving you a, you know, offhand example. So I'm just trying to explain how this is the psychology of the textile work. ZDHC 3 is also similar to it. If you're not ZDHC, you have to forget supplying to the, you know, if you're talking of Bangladesh or you're talking of Pakistan or you're talking of European markets or US markets, ZDHC 3 and blue sign is the most important thing. That without this, things will not work. Even Himmat Sinka will not buy, Indocounts will not buy. They are our key customers by and large. So they know this is the most important thing. So we cannot imagine not having these certifications right now. It's more important. It's like, you know, it's like a capex. It's like more of a machinery than we will require the certifications for selling more.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
I just had a couple of questions.
Sorry, your voice is breaking. May I request you to come in a better reception area?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to understand what is the quantum of revenue that you can expect from the commercialization of specialty chemicals of Eurodyne CTC in the current fiscal, and has there been any contribution in the last fiscal? That is my question number one. The ROCs which got reported this year was around 28%. You think you'll be able to improve it in the next couple of years, or it will be something where you'll come back to 21-23% and 28% will be an outlier year for you? Those are my two questions.
Okay, I will first take the, you know, the Eurodye question at the moment. See, with Eurodye, we have a very different kind of let me explain to you what is Eurodye about. Eurodye plant was earlier the Unilever plant. Eurodye acquired the Unilever plant in Belgium, which is quite in the center of the entire European markets. They produce specialty textile chemicals. So what they have been doing is they buy the raw materials from Asia, make in Europe, again supply it to Asia, which is Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, and also Vietnam, and, you know, also in the LAC countries, Latin American countries. By and large, they need the weed certifications and things like that. In the last 1 year, we all have witnessed a big change. the freight cost, the container shortages cannot make you, you know, profitable to buy the raw materials from one part of the world and again supply the product in that part of the world. They need to have their facilities in India, Asia, somewhere. That's the one place. Number two, Eurodyne had acquired the business of Stephenson UK 2 years back, which is one of the best woolworking chemicals company in UK. So those product lines are also very important. So what kind of business we have with Eurodyne, let me tell you, it's not one-sided business. There are two kinds of businesses we are doing. We are also helping them to produce the products in India and Malaysia and start supplying it to the various customers in this part of the world in Asia. This will save and help us a lot in the EBITDA. If you notice, our average realization price is less than $2. If you keep moving the raw materials from one part of the world to another continent and back to this continent, you'll be spending at least 40 cents in that, which is not going to work out for any company as such. So they understood that, you know, they need a partner in Asia. We are the best for them. That's the way we started these relationships. And then we are also doing multiple things. We are also buying specialty products from Europe, keeping it here in India and supplying to various customers and gaining the wallet share. So basically, we look at us in a different way. We are here to provide a platform to all the textile companies as a single-stop solution. If they need specialty health guard antimicrobials, we have the stocks here. If they need specialty chemicals for wool, which is out of the world kind of a quality for specific customers like Dornier for Raymond's, for Jayashree, they will buy from us and we started immediately those businesses. Whether it is NSL or, you know, Jayashree in Kolkata or Raymond's for that matter. So we are basically providing like a platform here in which we are able to make the textile customers depend on us and buy more products from us. See, let me also tell you, there is no incremental cost for that. I'll tell you how. As it is, we have 100 distributors in India broadly. We have our technical team of almost 35, 40 people all over India. We have the same people who are, you know, trying and moving to the customers for supplying Finotex products or Biotex products for Eurodyne or HealthGuard. So basically, it's like analogy, if I can give you, it's like the grocer. The grocer needs to have all the range. So once you have all the range, you will be definitely attracting more wallet share and getting more and more customer dependability. So the idea here is to join certain key companies with us and to make a synergy amongst it, like Finotex and Biotex had been done. So that is the way we are bringing HealthGuard, we are bringing Eurodyne to us on the table. So the idea here is not just to have, you know, okay, of course, it is only a 2 quarters that we have been able to do it. So the size is picking up. And also, we are also supplying from India certain products which Eurodyne need not produce it in Eurodyne because of the cost of the reach, because of the cost of the fuel, because of the cost of the shortages of the raw materials which they are facing in Europe currently. So basically, we are exploring all the ways of two-side businesses representing each other. So you can say it is like an extended plant which is available to us. And that's the way we are finding solutions and helping our customers and gaining wallet share. Now, to be HealthGuard also for that matter, we are supplying from HealthGuard to Pakistan. And these are like expensive product lines, which are almost $35 a kilo kind of a product, which is almost 10 times our average lesson prices. And with HealthGuard also, our prices are fixed. And then we decide and we have our strategies. We appoint the distributors for HealthGuard and Finotex globally. And that is the strategy we have in hand. We decide the size, the selling price of that product in that market. So this is something, it's more strategic driven. It's a blended way of looking at the things and the kind of, you know, our more for emphasis is on what we can take it to a different level. Let's say we are exhibiting everywhere in the world. We will be there, you know, in Brazil, we'll be there in Spain, in ITMA, in China, Interdai. For us, for them, you know, having HealthGuard, having a booth, rather we have this booth with us and, you know, we're representing Eurodyne also there. This makes more sense in which having operational efficiencies and we can work more in a, like a very strong partnership kind of a way. Now, coming to other questions, actually, the ROC part of it, let me tell you the kind of businesses, the kind of orders, the kind of, you know, we are anticipating and rather not anticipating, which is ongoing, I should say, is something which makes us quite comfortable in mentioning that, yes, this could be the kind of a new transitionary ROCE percentage which you can expect going forward. Keeping in mind, we are not adding any debt to our, you know, it's everything is, you know, there is no, everything is from internal accruals itself. And I think this is the kind of, you know, the returns which we have been generating on the based on the volume growth, the new capex and the new orders which we are looking at. So
That's the point to you, Arpit ji.
Yeah. So currently we saw this quarter cleaning and hygiene becoming a very large share of our revenues. From let's say from less than 5%, it's grown to 35 to 40%. And you're probably one
in volume. Yeah.
Yeah, in volume. So broadly you all have one of the large contracts, maybe less than detergent player, or I don't know which contract. But this 35-40% volume contribution, you expect it to continue for FY23, or this was more like a one-off play that you all saw this quarter?
No, this will continue to grow up, and that's why we are building up more volume capacities, and we are very much excited about that. At the same time, in quarter three also, this was constituting to 5% broadly in terms of volume, volume and turnover also in quarter three actually.
Got it. And currently, you all are aspiring your company to become an 800 crore to 850 crore revenue company. So what kind of capabilities or what kind of bandwidth you all would need to build, let's say for the next 1 or 2 years, to achieve that target?
So basically, I would like to break up this question into a couple of things. Number one, the aspiration is not 800 to 850. It is much higher than that. But I was mentioning in my previous questions and replies that the current capacity expansion, which is ongoing of 21,000 tons, it will take us to 104,000 tons per year in this times now, can get us to a turnover of easy 850 crores broadly. That is what it was mentioned about. That is one. Now, that is the reason. And also, I would like to mention to all the participants, the new Ambernath facility, it was planned for in the first quarter of the first COVID. I'm talking of April quarter, April to June 21. That was the, the 20. April 20, it was the first time when we envisaged that, you know, we will be expanding. That was the most unpredictable quarter, by the way. And we were on look of the expanding the plant in which we can always triple our businesses or get it to a different level. And that was the year 2020 in which we acquired the plant, and then we started working on it in 21 December. By November, December, that was the time we could start the commercial production. So by and large, this is the kind of, you know, we are in researching that, you know, we'll be achieving this kinds of businesses in future. Coming to the management capacities and things like that, we already hiring the best of the manpower. That is also, you can see reflecting in our expenses in the quarter four. And that is also will be happening in the future as well. There will be a lot of product additions and product certifications, exhibitions, more geographies which we are adding on. And so there can be a lot of more joint venture tie-ups also, which will help us to reach to our levels which we are looking at in the coming years.
Arpita, I request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Levin Shah. From ValueQuest Investment Advisors, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the gross margin. So if you look at our margins over a 5-6 year period, those have actually come down to around close to 40% what we used to do, and now it has come down to around 35-36 levels. So when we say that this cleaning and hygiene is the growth driver in Q4 and also going forward, the growth would be much higher versus textile business. So how do you see these gross margins? Does the cleaning and this segment has lower gross margins as compared to textile?
Yeah, I'd like to mention firstly, the way to look at our company will always be on the EBITDA percentage and also on the EBITDA absolute terms growth rate. That is the way we should be looking at it. I'll tell you why. Let's say we are, like I said, we are working like a solution provider, like it's a platform in which we will have the entire range of all the chemicals, bringing in more gaps, whichever is not yet filled. So the gaps have been filled by Eurodye, by HealthGuard, things like that. Now, it is not possible for any company to have such a big kind of a product line, have the same gross margins for all of them. Let us say even for like a departmental store, the kind of profitability on a chewing gum and the kind of profitability on the cake cannot match up broadly. What is more important is how do we get the wallet share higher, number one. How do we get the customer's trust and more dependability on us, number two. And look at the bottom line numbers. That is what is very important. Also would like to mention the 4 years which you are mentioning about. In that already the company has grown 3 times, whereas the gross margins are almost similar. and the EBITDA margins for the last financial year 22 has stood at 19%, which is after the, you know, the increase of 60% of the business, we are still able to have a better EBITDA margins broadly. So the way to look at our company should not be exactly a gross margin kind of a networking, because we cannot, let's say a consumer needs a product and what we are looking at is that they need 25 different products from us. So maybe in one product, if the gross margins is, let's say 40% or 35%, doesn't matter. What is more important, what we can get out of that relationships in future and how can we bring engagement and a permanent business to our table. That is the way we look at the businesses. So, you know, that's what I'd like to mention on that.
Sir, I completely understand that. I think I put my question wrongly maybe. I understand that growth is what we are striving for, and even it is coming at the similar kind of EBITDA margin. So going forward as well, this is broadly the EBITDA margin range that we should do despite the mix changing. That is what I understand, right?
Apart from this, coming to your gross margin questions also, we all have witnessed a big change in the international crude raw material prices. We have witnessed the fuel cost, the transport cost, the freight cost, the shortages of chemicals. And also in the last two quarters, you might have also noticed, as you are into, you know, many specialty chemicals, gross margins would have dipped substantially, if I'm not wrong, quarter two, quarter three. In that also, we have been able to sail out and give up to these levels. So I don't think that is much, you know, a worry for us, as long as our bottom lines are met and also the kind of growth which we are looking at and the volume growth. This is the our focus area right now. But again, having said that, this is the kind of the, you know, this is the kind of gross margins which we can anticipate always as a base also broadly.
Understood. Sir, and last question on the, what we have said is that during this quarter, we did around 10,500 odd tons kind of volume. And on that, we have done around 120 crores kind of revenue. Now, if I look at the volumes and our total capacity is broadly 50% kind of capacity utilization on the volume front. So, is it that once we reach peak capacity, we can in fact touch around close to 900,000 crores kind of turnover with the existing capacities itself? I mean, the 83,000 tons capacity that we have.
With 83,000 tons and the 23,000 tons which is going to be set up by next month, we are touching 104,000 tons, number one. Number two, also would like to mention the average realization prices have been always on the upscale also. Also because the kind of product mix which we are offering and the kind of solutions we are providing. At the same time, this month, I mean from not this month, from April last month, we have started, you know, passing on the price increase, because naturally the price increase which has happened in the raw material prices in February month, that couldn't be easily passed on because you already have 1 month's contract with the customers and, you know, everybody wants to start the new prices from the financial new year. So that has been postponed to the financial new year, which has been started taking effect. So broadly speaking, if you talk about that, considering that, I think 850, 800, which I mentioned about, it can be taken as the base. Then it also depends upon how fast we can, you know, get onto more sustainable businesses, the finishing packages in textiles. And at the same time, how much more, you know, prices and the cost, you know, the price increase we can get in the market. So that can be the two factors which can lead to much higher numbers with the same facilities at the moment.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Mehta from GK Capital Management. Please go ahead. Aditya, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go with the question, please?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are now.
Hi, congratulations, sir. Congrats on a good set number. Sir, just
thank
coming
you
back on the margin front. So last quarter, our guidance was that we can maintain 24% EBITDA margins going ahead. And now I understand there have been some raw material price issues and escalation. So even now when we have started to take price increases, so what's stopping us to giving the guidance of, again, reaching that 24% near to about that level on the EBITDA front?
See, I'll tell you, there are a couple of things involved in that. Number one, the 24% EBITDA margins was one of the quarters, if you see all the quarters in place for the last 10-12 quarters as well, number one. But having said that, that was also there is a lot of manpower expansion which we have done, which you can also see in our current quarter. There has been a lot of expansion in the, you know, we are investing in the exhibitions and the product audits and other things which have been happening in the current quarter, last quarter, quarter four. So that obviously will be affected in the EBITDA margins. At the same time, we are not mentioning that this is out of sight, that this cannot happen ever. That is not the point we are trying to mention. But we are trying to say whatever has been shaping up even now in the financial year 22 is 19%, which is far ahead of our average quarters of all the previous 2-3 years, by the way. So that is what we had mentioned in the light of it.
So as and when our utilizations increase, we can expect to go back at the higher levels.
We cannot deny that it will not go up. Of course, this is what is the point. But always the point is that once we have an expansion, there is a revenue seed cost, more manpower, more expansions and things like that, which takes time to spread out and shape up. So now that is the point where we have reached now, that every expansion, after every such kind of an expansion, you will see a lot of investment been done on manpower and, you know, upkeep of the facilities and revenue expenditures which are on the books already. So that's something which I can say it's not a cost. I think it's a seed. The fruits generally take some time in the textile businesses to shape up. In the coming quarters, 3-4 quarters, you will see that things will start moving up in the right directions.
Okay, got it. And just follow up. You mentioned that the 40% contribution in Q4 was from detergents business.
For the volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was there any degrowth in the textile business?
Yeah, I would not say it's a degrowth. Actually, if you notice, January months are always softer generally, because most of the buying houses in the world, they have already placed their orders in October, November, December. Obviously, also there is a Diwali season to it. And the demand in quarter three was quite good enough, because it was the only quarter, I think, which was without Omni, without Delta, or without any such kind of, things which is stopping people to go in the markets and buying. And in December onwards, there was already the Christmas orders and things were already being done by most of the exporters. So January was not in a great shape, I can say so. But these are all, like I said in my conversation a few minutes back, you have to take textiles as it's not a perennial kind of a thing, but you will see slight wavy things happening on and off. But at the end of the day, it will cover up and lead to the growth. It will be quite, not exactly a seasonal, but something sort of it, every shortfall of a quarter gets covered in the next quarter and thereafter. So that's the way you can look at it.
Okay. Great, sir. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my question is on the finishing textile chemical segment, which we are, I think, one of the leaders. If you can talk about what the market size is and what is the market growth, as well as who are the other big players in this. And my other question is on the other segment, which is this detergents and home fun.
I'll share these things right now, but as such, it's not about more about the earnings result topic, but let me tell you something which I've been, updating our investors and participants in the previous things also. So let us tell from the point that the textile came to India in 1980s, when most of the textile chemical companies belonging to Europe also started coming to Asia, in India, in Bangladesh, in Asia. And so basically, Finotex has been always the backdoor suppliers to them in the previous times. And in the last 10-15 years, Finotex started supplying in its own brand and own value. And that's the way we have been growing ahead as such. Our European companies, European customers, the textile chemical companies, which are today our competitors, are namely Acroma, erstwhile Clariant, then it is Huntsman, erstwhile Ciba, then there is Henkel, which is now known as Pulcra, there is Croda, erstwhile ICI UK. So these are the European big giant companies who have already diversified to various cleaning lotions and personal care items and product lines which have a much better 400. Basically, this margin, this kind of business was always having 300-400% margins once upon a time. And then when textile got competitive in 2002 and 2003, due to the changes in the quota and the geographical changes, so the margins those days had come to 40%. So basically, this entire industry has been dominated by European companies by and large, and they still control most of the buying houses' requirements and, you know, things like that. So the entire market, how do we put it together, should be around, let's say, 25,000 crores broadly. That's the way this entire market works too. And so that's the global market size where we are addressing at the moment. And coming to the detergents and cleaning, it's quite massive compared to the textile requirements as such. And there is, you know, it's quite massive. The kind of businesses we are looking at should be, you know, sizable kind of companies like Levers, like P&G, like Ghadi, like Patanjali. So some of them we are already working now, and we are aspiring to enter most of these biggest names in the coming times. So broadly, this is the, you know, how the market shapes in the international macro level.
But the broad numbers you have already discussed in your earlier calls. I was specifically asking for the finishing.
Aman, sorry, may I request you to speak louder?
Sir, I was saying the broad numbers you have already discussed in previous calls. I was specifically asking for the finishing specialty textile chemical segment, not the whole industry of textile chemicals.
So basically, generally speaking, finishing is one sector where there is a lot of things happening in terms of requirement of technical textiles, and biotechs and finotechs are quite ahead in that segment. The consumer preferences have changed. Like in COVID times, people have started asking for antimicrobial, antiviral, antifungal, mosquito repellents, and also for water repellents, stain repellents, kind of a product line, all repellencies and things like that. All these kinds of specialty finishes cannot be done mechanically. They have to be treated by chemicals, and that's the place where we have entered upon, and that house has been our fourth area. So going forward, if we can say almost 50% of the total demand should be finishing, and that is the place where the consumers are also ready to pay you a better premium, and a better kind of a turnover is expected in finishing. For us, 55% is finishing by and large, and that's the place where we would always like to dwell in.
You are saying roughly 10,000 to 12,000.
Correct.
Are there any other big Indian players in this? Like Colortex is a also one of the companies, and there are other.
So Colortex is into dye stuff. So let me tell you, dye stuff is not what we do. We are into specialty chemical production, in which we are providing products which are used along with the dyes as such. So Colortex is a known player in the dye stuff market, which is a complementary product line to the same kind of an audience, I should say. The closest competitor to us in the listed space should be Rosari in that matter. But there is a big differentiation between us and them. They work on products which are more volume and turnover rather than gross margins. Their products more CO driven and every month pricing kind of a thing, whereas we are working on providing solutions for the textiles. Now, when you provide solutions, obviously the EBITDA margins, the EBITDA, you know, the profitability and the kind of, you know, the kind of respect, and is much better in terms of the audiences rather than providing products which are quite me too kind of a product. That's the differentiation we have with in our product line from Rosari. Yeah.
Any players in unlisted space who are big?
Unlisted space, I mean, in the listed, there are some more, like Atul is there, which has tied with Rudolph. One of the segment of Atul is with Rudolph, which is into textile dyes and specialty chemicals. Pidilite is there. Unlisted, I would not mention much, because those are not, you know, there is Razel in South India, which has been pretty doing well in South India. So that is one of the companies as such, I can say.
Yes, final question. Who are the 2-3 players you have mentioned who have the blue sign like us, apart from us?
Their chemical will have, Bodil will have, but in terms of specialty chemicals, I wouldn't know. There is no one, I should say, in Indian market. Because if I say Huntsman has it, but Huntsman is not exactly an Indian company, it's an European company. So how can we classify it in India? Of course, they can sell in India using that certification also, but that doesn't mean they are Indian companies as such.
Sure, sir. Thank you for answering.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And I'll hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for listening to us, and you know, we are very much excited and enthusiastic from where we are today. Going forward, we are always open for any more questions and any more meeting requests which comes to us. You can always contact Churchgate Partners, our investment advisors, investment consultants and advisors for that, investors. So over to you. Thank you so much everyone for listening to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Finotex Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.